Anyway, so I'm going to be talking today about faith. And I know this is a really big subject, so I'm going to try and keep it concise to what God has told, been speaking to me about. Right, so in Hebrews it says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Now the encouraging thing is, Romans 12 verse 3 says, to everyone has been given a measure of faith. So it's not that we haven't got it, we have got it, but I'm going to help us today to understand how to develop it, how to grow it, and how to walk in it, hopefully. Right, so faith, you could also put the word trust there as well. Right, so I'm going to start off with Genesis chapter 22. And Sylvia read that only a couple of weeks ago. Right, so sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. So I'm emphasizing the we bit there. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Now I want to take on a little bit of a journey with Abraham, because he was really called Abram. And when he was called Abram, God told him to leave the land that he was living in and go to a distant land that he didn't know where he was going. And there have been many other journeys on Abraham's life. He made a lot of mistakes. He made one big mistake with his wife and pretended that she was his sister. But it's the fact that Abraham, when he came to sacrifice Isaac, didn't come to that place of faith and obedience overnight. His journey with God was one of many years, and God had shown him many things, and Abraham was obedient to that. So our walk of faith, our trust in God, our obedience to God is a journey, and it's not going to happen overnight. One thing I saw right at the beginning, it says God tested Abraham. So God tests our faith. It's not down to us to test our faith. Because God's tests are like an exam. He wants to know, how much do you know? How much have you understood? How much is your walk with me rock solid, as it were? So I'm just going to read... Sorry, Pam. Don't mean to embarrass Pam. But I'm just going to read something. I'm not going to read it all. Right, so if you don't know, Pam is a second dan black belt in Taiho Jutsu. And she's also a coach and examiner. Now then, she started out in 2013, yeah, 14, and by 2020, you had your first black belt. Yeah. So again, it doesn't happen overnight. Pam didn't wake up one day and was immediately a second dan black belt. It takes practice, takes time, takes effort. It takes development. Paul, if I remember rightly, you said you were level 7 at piano. So when did you start?
About 6, 7 years old.
6, 7 years old, and you became level 7 at
15.
15. So it's about 7 years.
So, you know, Paul didn't just wake up and thought, I'm going to play the piano and become level 7 overnight. It takes time, takes practice, takes effort. And it's the same with our faith. And I'll explain. Right, so 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, this says, we are to live by faith. Some translations have walk by faith. And some other translations see by faith. So it's not walking in the natural. It's not seeing in the natural, and it's not walking, you know what I mean, by natural, in our own senses and our own thoughts and feelings. We have to walk by faith. And if God tells us to do something, it's in obedience to that, and faith grows. Right. Right, Romans 10. 17. Right, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, for argument's sake, I'm going to pick healing. So, if God says, by his stripes we are healed, we hear that. And we have to take it as a seed. And we have to not just hear it, but take the seed, sow it by reading, speaking, confirming, confessing that by his stripes we are healed and that God is our healer. I am the Lord that heals you. And it's meditating on those words, sowing that seed. Brian, brilliant. Because... I had this question, what's the difference between, Jesus said, little faith, oh, you a little faith, and a mustard seed? What's the difference? They're both small, tiny. Right, so in Mark chapter 9, when Jesus has come back from being transfigured, I'll forgive Peter, James and John, because they weren't there, they were with Jesus. Because Jesus then comes back to the crowd and he sees an argument between the other disciples and some other people. And the argument basically was that this man brought his son to them to be healed from deaf and mute. I've got it down there, but I can't remember. Anyway, so he was deaf and mute. He was being thrown into the fire and the disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus basically turned around and said, oh, you unbelieving generation, faithless generation, how long will I bear with you? Bring him to me. And I want to take you on a journey before Mark chapter 9. Because if you read Mark from Mark 2 to Mark 9, Jesus, numerous healings. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, a woman with the issue of blood. He fed 5,000. Then he fed 4,000. Then he had the parable of the sower, again, talking about the word coming in, and how the word would either, you know, fall on hard ground, stony ground, and good ground. So basically what he's doing is from Mark chapter 2 to Mark chapter 9, he's saying, watch what I'm doing. You're the disciples. You need to learn. So watch what I'm doing. Hear what I'm saying. And he's like building, like I said, precept upon precept, line upon line. He's building and building and building. He said, but it's not that we become... Paul said, imitate me, but we don't become copies. We can't copy what Jesus did. We become imitators of what he did. In the sense, yes, Jesus healed the sick. Jesus opened the eyes of people born blind. He opened deaf ears. But you can't go along with a piece of pen and a paper and say, oh, he did that time, and yeah, he did that time, and he's going to do it again because I've got written down that he did that time. No, he does. He treats everyone differently. Every single person that Jesus come across, he treated differently. So that's when, see, I'm trying to build a thing. It's not just, when it comes to miracles and healing, it's not just faith either. Because when the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, power's gone out of me. We need faith, but we also need power. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. So we have. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. So it's that combination of faith, yes, faith that God can do it, but having also the power to do it. I'm just going to pinch a chair. Right, so we can all have faith, we can all believe, and I can believe that that chair will take my weight, and I can believe that all day, but faith is an action word. If I sit on that chair, I've now exercised faith. It's gone from belief that God can heal to putting faith into action that God will heal. Do you understand? Is that clear? Because you can believe on Jesus all day, but if you don't put your faith and trust in him, it's worthless. Because he says even the demons believe and they tremble. Is it all right so far? Right, so how do we get to great faith? Because there are two occasions where Jesus turned around and said to someone, you have great faith. One's the Roman centurion who basically said, my daughter's ill. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go to your house and heal her. He said, well, I'm not worthy of you to come to my house. You only have to say the word and she will be healed. And Jesus marveled at that, and he said, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. And the thing is, the centurion was a Gentile as well. We need to remember that. He was a Gentile. He didn't have, you know, the scriptures to turn to. All he could see was Jesus was a man of authority, and he understood authority being a Roman soldier. So we not only have faith, we not only have power, we have authority in the name of Jesus. And Aaron brought that up a little while ago about, you know, just tagging in the name of Jesus on at the end of a prayer. Do you remember that? But what is the name of Jesus? It's powerful. There's no other name apart from the name of Jesus. And we need to learn, we do need to learn proper use of our authority in the name of Jesus. Right, so that was one. The other one is the, I can't remember, was it she Syrophoenician or something like that? Anyway, Jesus is walking somewhere and this woman comes up to him and says, "My daughter needs healing." And he says, "Be off with your woman. It's not my time yet. Or I'm not here for you. I'm here for the people of Israel." And she persisted and said, "Look, even dogs get the crumbs off the table." And Jesus said, "Oh, you of great faith, your daughter's healed." So the second part is not only to have a sense of authority, it's a sense of persistence. It's like that widow knocking on that door. "Give me justice. Give me what I want." It, you know, not in a selfish way. It's not selfish. It's being persistent. It's knocking on that door. Ask. Seek. Knock. You know, keep persistent. Keep going to God. Well, it's not just healing. It's finances. Anything that you want faithful, that you want to grow in, that you want to see develop, that you want to see in your life, persist with God. All right, so there are obviously what I'm calling robbers of faith. There are fear, doubt and unbelief are bundled together, and worry and anxiety. Now, it would seem obvious to everybody in the room, but when an angel appeared to somebody, immediately says, "Do not fear." I mean, I would, to be honest, if an angel appeared to me. And oh, okay. But the opposite is true. We can cry out either for fear or for faith. We can either, you know, be fearful or faithful. And it talks about doubt and unbelief. You know, all right, I know doubting Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe until I touch his side and his hands." But Jesus said, "Blessed are you that have seen, but also blessed are you that have not seen and believe." So it's not all about seeing necessarily. It's not all about, because faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes the Bible's around the wrong way. You want to see it before you can believe it, but you need to believe it before you see it in the kingdom, basically. And worry, that's a big one. Jesus said, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Don't worry about it. These things will be given to you if you seek first the kingdom of God." I'm just going to, because I've been looking at two different people. I'll go with George Müller first. Who knows about George Müller? Yeah? Well, George Müller is a German-born citizen who came to Britain and over a period of time, he wanted to set up three orphanages. Now, George Müller said in his heart, "I am not going to ask anyone for a penny. I am not going to tell anyone about my financial need. I am going to trust God." Now, that is the big step of faith. And often what would happen is that George Müller would pray in the morning and by the evening he'd have what he needed. And very often he would pray and it wasn't until the week after that he got what he needed. But he got what was needed. God didn't take him one penny over the need that was there, and God provided things. He talks about things like God providing choice ham, beer, wine, a leg of lamb, things that he wouldn't necessarily buy, but God blessed him. And he saw God move in a mighty way in provision, but he never prayed for healing. Not once did he ever pray for someone to be healed. Now, his faith, obviously, was for provision. That's the seed that was sown into his life, and he grew and built on. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, on the other hand, prayed for healing, but very rarely ever prayed for provision. And like I said, the Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me. Right, so I wouldn't want necessarily to copy Smith Wigglesworth, because he went around punching people and slapping them in the face. That was his way of addressing the area of healing. He said, I'm not hitting you, I'm hitting the devil. And that's his own words. Yeah, I mean, there was a guy with a stomach ulcer or something. He just walked up to him and punched him in the stomach, sent him flying, but the ulcer was healed. So be imitators of people of faith, but don't copy them. You might get slapped back, no. But that's what I'm saying, though. You've got one person that built on the seed of healing, that meditated it, and he spent hours meditating on those scriptures. He spent hours with God in prayer. See, that was something else. Jesus did something that the disciples very rarely ever did. It says that Jesus took time to go up to a mountain or a hill and pray. So Jesus was prepared spiritually for the next day. It says that he woke up early in the morning to go up to a mountain and pray. So he was then prepared for what was coming up. It's not that it's not that the disciples didn't pray, but it's a lesson for us to learn to pray, seek God for the day ahead. It says of Smith Wigglesworth that he never prayed for longer than 15 minutes, but he also went no longer than 15 minutes without prayer. Okay? So I suppose what I'm trying to say is we have got a measure of faith. The Holy Spirit has given us that measure. It's what we do with that measure. It's how we grow that measure. It's how we understand the Word of God concerning a particular subject. Yeah, it's basically it.